I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with me right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, and then Thursday with Jeffrey Wright and Company. He's the company for Jeffrey Wright and Company. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, going well. I'm glad we're talking now and not 30 minutes ago, because now I can tell you all about Simon Mahawk with the exhaustive research that I've conducted.
Let me know. This is what happened. I actually have not gotten to the breaking news because I had some NBA free agency to talk about. But the Tigers have added a South Sudanese center by the name of Simon Mahawk, 7'1". He played in a Serbian developmental league. I saw he played 7 games, averaged 17.3 points per game, 9 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, but it's in a developmental league in Serbia. So holler at me, Simon Mahawk, as sort of the depth, I guess, in the front court.
No kidding. A very recent development here. Honestly, I'm intrigued. He's 7 feet. He stuffed the stat sheet in those 7 games. And Gabe, this is how deep down the rabbit hole I got in the last 20 minutes. I was able to find a November article from a Serbian news outlet, plugged it into Google Translate.
Ooh.
And here's what it said in November. All right, you ready for this?
Yes, absolutely.
The most prestigious American universities have shown great interest in the South Sudanese prodigy, and there is a good chance he will continue his career in the NCAA. So, I mean, that was in November. This is, I'm just saying this guy's been on the radar for a little bit. Probably the first we're all hearing of him. It gave me a little reassurance that they didn't just desperately find this guy a week ago and say, yeah, okay, why not? Clearly the Dane Danger situation pushed them in this direction. But, hey, we'll see, right? Sometimes these guys hit, sometimes they don't. Not a big sample size, but he's 7 feet. Looks like he can do a good bit on the court for a guy of his size. So, a fascinating addition.
Definitely raw. I mean, let's be very clear. He's a raw prospect. He's, what, 19 years old?
I believe so. Yeah. So, yeah, he's young. He was born in 06. So, yeah, he'll play, some of these international guys, and I was hoping maybe this would be the case with him, but it's not. But some of the international guys you're seeing come over now, they're coming over as a 21-year-old, quote, freshman, right? Well, that's not the case here. This is a guy who's going to be roughly the age of a normal freshman. And just without a ton of sample size, I couldn't find anything to suggest that he's represented South Sudan in the FIBA U19 or anything like that. That's usually a great proving ground. You can usually look at stats from that tournament and see whether or not they translate, and they usually do. So not the case here. This is a guy coming from, as you mentioned, sort of a developmental sort of rung on the European ladder. I guess it's one of those, like, hey, high upside. Like, we just came out of the NBA draft, right? And sometimes in the second round, you see guys picked there who it's like, hey, if he hits, maybe we got the next Nikola Jokic on our hands. If he doesn't, then, well, what did we really lose? And I kind of feel like that's the situation Memphis finds itself in. Now, could they use a sure thing? Yeah, they could. The reality is, though, Gabe, there just aren't many sure things out there in July.
There's none. There's just about none. But I will give you credit. You called this on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, right? You said they're going to have to go if they want to, because we're talking about Dane Danger and the waiver request being denied. You said if they're going to get that mystery player, it's probably going to have to be an international guy.
Yeah, and that was just kind of an odds bet, right? Because here are the options. It's you go out and find whatever scraps are left in the portal, and I mean. I don't mean to diminish the character of the individuals who are in the portal, but from an on-court contributions perspective, it is scraps. Or, we saw him go many years ago now, the reclass route, where you could get a guy from the class of 26, reclass him to 25. But unless he's Jalen Duren, I mean, the chances of that guy contributing substantially as a freshman are pretty slim. But then I was like, all right, you got the international pool, and you've seen a lot of teams dip heavily into the international waters this cycle. And part of that is just because it's way more attractive for international talent now to come over to the States, developing the collegiate system in front of NBA scouts and get paid to do it. I am curious to see if that international route sort of plateaus in the house settlement era now, but Memphis is jumping in on the heels of a lot of other programs that have gone heavily on the international side to fill out their rosters. And so it just seemed like the obvious sort of place to look if you needed a big man. And so they have found one here in Simon Mahawk. Yeah, it's okay. Still a bit of a mystery. Oh, look, man, if anyone's telling you for sure they know what this guy's going to bring to the table, I think they're misleading you.
Well, you've done the most. I mean, you went and used Google Translate. I'm sure that's more research than anybody's done to this point.
I cannot vouch for the veracity of the Serbian sports news outlets, but here's another line. I'll read you one more line.
Oh, please.
From Google Translate, courtesy of Sportly in Serbia. A true basketball masterpiece. Let him be the first to pull his leg and be a guiding star for the rest of the academy.
Okay, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Are we? Okay, that's that's got to be the league's PR team, right? And then he's being recruited by the most prestigious of college basketball institutions.
Yeah, I know it's got to be.
Please read that last line again. That was awesome. That's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, okay. A true basketball masterpiece, and that follows the line where they mention that he has had 5 or 6 blocks in every match. Not every game, but every match.
Every match. Okay, this is a different country for sure.
I did look up, okay, now I'm just exposing myself for how deep down the rabbit hole I got, but I did go and look at the top team in the U19 division where he played, and I put that team into ChatGPT and asked ChatGPT, has this team ever produced NCAA Division I, American college basketball players? And yes, I mean, there have been guys from this division who have gone over to play American college basketball before. Not any that on first glance are widely recognizable, but there is at least some precedent of this division of Serbian basketball producing college level talent. So, and also obviously, South Sudan has produced plenty of Division I players. So,
any names ChatGPT throw at you?
Well, one that Memphis fans will actually recognize, not a Division I college basketball talent, but a former Memphis Grizzly. Played in this division of Serbian professional basketball once upon a time, Marko Guduric.
Oh, God. Gosh, dang it. Why did you? Why has it got to be that name?
He resurfaced, I think, in the Olympics.
What? Marko Guduric. He was. Okay, but can we be honest for a second? He was awful with the Grizzlies.
You're not wrong, Gabe, but I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Marko. I wrote a feature on Marko that did not get the attention it deserved. It was a very inspirational story. Now, it didn't work out in the NBA, but the young man had a very interesting background. He grew up in Yugoslavia with the Americans bombing his homeland. And so, that's your Serbian connection to Simon Mahawk.
Well, thanks for making me feel bad right after I said he was awful. Jeez.
Hey, he's done fine for himself. He's still making money playing ball.
Yeah.
He just wasn't NBA caliber. You know what I'm saying? So
I mean, but he's still in the NBA. He got an NBA contract. Good enough.
He did. He's doing fine for himself still. The thing I'll say about Simon Mahawk is that if I'm just putting on my projection hat here without really having seen any tape from the guy, I would venture to guess he's probably a multi-year college project and maybe not your opening night center.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, but that would be kind of maybe where I would draw the line.
Dang. Well, David, honestly, I will say this, and we have good reporters on Memphis basketball here in this city. Shout out to Parthu Padiai. Shout out to Jason Munns. Jason Munns will be on the show tomorrow, by the way. I think this is the best deep dive we've gotten so far on Simon Mahawk.
Yeah, I know, right? I just saw it, and I was like, let's figure this out. Because, for most guys, I have a Synergy account now, which has been amazing because you can find tape on almost anybody. And so I was like, all right, we'll see what Synergy has on this guy. Gabe, Synergy has nothing. I mean, it has nothing on this guy. Zero possessions that I can find. So I'm going to say this, too. I would be very surprised if the Memphis staff has seen extensive film on him. You know, maybe they've seen some tape from him in this U19 Serbian league. But, I mean, I think that that might be all there is. And that's not on Synergy. So, you know, I mean, it's a mystery bag, right? Like, yeah. that's what it is. But, hey, you do have now, you do have 2 7-footers on the roster.
Yeah.
So you feel a little better now, just having a little bit more size. And you got to imagine the rim protection translates. You know, does the rest of it translate? I don't know. You know, but can the guy go out there and alter some shots in the paint? Yeah, I would venture to guess he could probably do that early.
Oh, wow. We have some breaking news. We have some breaking. First Shams bomb of free agency. The Memphis Grizzlies and all-star Jaren Jackson Jr. are expected to agree on a 5-year, $240 million maximum renegotiation and extension. So there we go. There we go. 5 years, $240 million for Jaren Jackson Jr. And I know I just completely pivoted, but I think it called for it. But 5 years, $240 million maximum for Jaren. So they have him locked up for a while now. That's good. That's great. That's a great update. We were wondering if this would take till next offseason. And obviously next offseason, you don't have full clarity with unrestricted free agency. This is the best possible outcome, in my opinion, for Jaren.
Oh, no doubt. Wow, what a busy Monday segment here. First we got Simon Mahawk, and now we got Jaren Jackson Jr.
We may have a Ty Jerome news before long. We'll wait for
may
that.
Very well. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I would like that addition for the Grizzlies. But, man, this is what – now I'm glad they got this thing done with Jaren right now and it didn't drag out, because now you've got the table set and your ducks in a row for the rest of this free agency, and you got it out of the way. And you got the dude locked down through his, I mean, basically the prime of his prime.
Yep.
I mean, so that is fantastic.
Yeah. 5 years, 240. It's better than the 5-year, 340 that we were talking about, I think.
Without a doubt.
The Supermax.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of works out. I mean, I know it presents some short-term hurdles in terms of, you know, what you can do with next year's roster. But, by the fact that he didn't get all NBA, it actually ends up saving you, you know, quite a bit of money.
You know, in the end of the day, while people had their, like, sort of reservations or their concerns about this getting done and Jaren, if it dragged out till next season, I never really had any lasting concerns when it came to Jaren. The guy has never said anything about wanting to be out of the city of Memphis. There just never seemed to be anything that, like, obviously, not getting the Supermax was a bit concerning because they could have offered him that amount of money and no one else could offer him that amount of money. But in the end of the day, I never quite bought into the doom and gloom that was sold around it.
Gabe, the only noise on the dissolution of this Grizzlies core was coming from the media that were totally out of step with what the Desmond Bane trade meant.
Right.
And so, thankfully, Zach Kleiman and that front office were able to keep the rest of the core sort of on board with the reality of the situation, and they didn't get too caught up in Stephen A. and Wendy and all these other blowhards that were out here trying to say that the Desmond Bane trade was the indication of a full rebuild, because that was never the case. And now you got hard evidence of the fact that the Grizzlies are still invested in winning. And winning now and winning big with the pieces they have in place. Because a 5-year, $240 million max extension, that is as the big of a sign as you can have that this is that they're still going in this direction. And look, you know, we've seen it from Ja within the last couple of weeks as well. With all that chatter that was out there, you know, he was shooting that down too. And that should have been the final indication that Jaren was going to have a deal get done, right? Because, you know, I mean, there was just no way that that wasn't going to happen. And now it's official, right? So that's within the last, you know, 5 minutes now. And the Grizzlies' future, I feel better about it now coming out of the draft with this news today. I feel really good about where they are. And you hate to lose Dez, but what you got back for him, man, like I can get on board with it. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, like there's a little bit of positive momentum back for the franchise.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I know there's some people out there that look at Jaren Jackson Jr. and just look at his nationally televised games. I'm talking about like sort of the maybe more casual fans, and they look at him, they oh, he can't rebound, he can't do this. And I think there's some Grizzlies fans that always focus on those things. I have always said this with Jaren, focus on what he does well instead of talking about what he doesn't. He does so many. He's a defensive player of the year candidate. He's always leading. And we have more breaking news. He's always leading in blocks category, or like top five. Offensively, he's taken steps every single year of his career. I feel like there's too many people that focus on what he isn't instead of what he is. But we do have more breaking news. I guess the Grizzlies are just like, bombarding Shams. And Santi Aldama's deal is done. So a restricted free agent, Santi Aldama, 3-year, $52.5 million. The busy segment just got busier. How about that? But back to Jaren real quick. We'll get to Santi in a second. It just feels like there's too many people that focus on what he isn't when he does so many damn things well.
Oh, he does. I mean, the rim protection and the offensive punch that he brings. I mean, we've seen it now. He can be option A. He can be you can play through Jaren offensively and be effective. He doesn't have to be a complementary piece. He can be a centerpiece, a focal point of your offense. And I think a lot of people kind of gloss over the fact that this past season, his 3-point numbers went back up to or near a career high in terms of percentage. And that is a huge part of his game. When he's got that in the bag, oh my gosh, I mean, he's very difficult to defend. He's a matchup nightmare, I would say, offensively, in addition to everything that he does defensively. And with a little bit more team success, the accolades and the honors are right there for Jaren Jackson Jr. It's just really, I think, a byproduct of the Grizzlies tapering off late this past season that he didn't get all NBA. So this is great news for the Grizzlies, because we know it is so much easier to retain the superstar talent that you have in Memphis than it is to go out and find new superstar talent. John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., they're superstar talents, and they're going to be Grizzlies for the future.
Yeah, and for the next 3 years, Santi Aldama, here we go again. Restricted free agent, 3 years, $52.5 million, 17.4 a year. I don't know, maybe a couple more million than I expected him to get, but nonetheless, you get your most experienced and most productive bench player back. And I guess they still have some room to maneuver. We'll see what happens here coming up soon. But Santi Aldama back. Your reaction.
Yeah. I mean, well, for the first three quarters of the year, it was like, oh my gosh, this guy is a revelation. He was playing the best basketball of his career. Now, I think the little altercation or spat with Dez, I mean, sort of, I think, cast a pall over what was otherwise a fantastic year for Santi. But hey, I mean, Dez is gone now, right? And so, you know, and I know they resolved it and they're big buddies, and you know, I don't mean to imply that it was just totally impossible to make it work between them two, but I do think that incident put a shadow over what was a career year for him, and he was going to get paid by somebody. You look at a 6'11" guy who does what he does offensively. And now I think what makes it work for Santi is the other pieces that they're bringing in, because I don't think that he's ever going to be that gritty on ball. Like, right, you're going to stick him on the opponent's best. Like, he's never going to be that defensively. He's just not. But now you have other players who can be that. You have a KCP now on the roster. You drafted Cedric Coward largely on the defensive upside. You've got a Jalen Wells who's coming back after showing a lot of upside as a rookie defensively. And then not to mention, we still kind of think or want to believe, right, that at some point Vince Williams can be that physical, gritty, right, perimeter wing defender. So if you've got those other pieces in place to sort of mask the defensive deficiencies of Asante, and you look at the offensive upside, then yeah, I mean, I think this is a decent value play.
I'll say this. I mean, so far, these are the first two things that Shams has put out there on the day of NBA free agency, right when it starts. But so far, I think I'd grade it an A, retaining the talent that has gotten you to this point.
I would look at it more from an offseason perspective too, and what they did in the draft. And there seems to be a methodology or an identity sort of emerging where it's like, all right, we're going to invest in what we found, but then try to supplement that a little bit more strategically than we did last season, where there were some ball handling deficiencies, there were some defensive deficiencies. And now it's like, all right, we recognize where we fell short, and we recognize that we couldn't stop anybody with a winning record on defense, and we got to surround this talented offensive nucleus with some guys who can do that. And
right.
within that context, the draft and what they've done here within the last 10 minutes, it's, great job so far.
And KCP, Cedric Howard, for sure. Now, the Ty Jerome thing, there is some sort of noise. Mark Stein put it out there on his Substack that, $9 to $10 million a year. Grizzlies are the front runners to bring in Ty Jerome, who was third in sixth man of the year voting, 12 points per game, 44% from three. Obviously, that's not like the defense that we were just talking about. But certainly when you talk about secondary ball handlers, or in the case of Ja Morant being out, which he has been out a lot the last 3 years, this guy could step in and be highly productive and put up a lot of points. Like, the Ty Jerome thing seems to make sense, but how do you feel about that fit with the Grizzlies?
Well, if you can get him at that price tag, which honestly seems pretty like a pretty good deal. It seems like a pretty good deal for a guy of that caliber who was close to being the sixth man of the year in the NBA. But you got to get some shooting in here, because you look at what's going out in Dez and Luke Kennard. I mean, that's a lot of floor spacing, a lot of shooting right there. I mean, I would say definitely your two best perimeter shooters, especially when you factor in the volume of those guys from beyond the arc. That's a lot of volume and a lot of, you know, a couple of really high percentage guys from beyond the arc. You got to replace that. You have to. For Ja Morant to be able to get downhill and get to the rim, you've got to have floor spacing. Ty Jerome would bring that. I don't necessarily think a plus level defender. So again, it's sort of like you're seeing a dual track here. The skilled offensive players, the reinvestment in those who are already on the roster, and maybe a new investment in a Ty Jerome, but then that's being couched with the dual track there is a Cedric Coward, a KCP, a hope in Vince Williams and what he can become for you on the perimeter defensively. So, I mean, I think they have to get that. I mean, it's non-negotiable. There has to be shooting to go with this sort of retooled identity and recommitment to defense. You cannot forsake shooting in pursuit of that quest. Not in this modern NBA. You can't go full on revert to grit and grind with, you know, Tony Allen. I mean, that's just not the way the game is played anymore. And you got to have those dogs, but there's got to be shooters too. And if you can't find players who can do both, because those guys are super rare, then, you know, you got to have enough who can do both.
For sure. All right. Well, David, I'm going to let you roll. We have some reaction to do. Appreciate it, man. Very lively segment today. I'll say that.
He's already gone.
Oh, he's already gone. He hung up on me. Didn't even say bye.
No, I think that was my bad.
Hung up on him.
I do it quickly. There's a buzz tone that comes through if I don't.
Well, regardless, David Cobb's brought to you by Oxbow. And at Oxbow, heart and soul go into every detail because they believe shopping should feel personal. From trending brands to timeless classics, they're proud to bring Memphis a curated mix of gear that fits your style. You can find names like Gentile, Sitka, Mizzen & Main, Martin Dingman, Yeti. And if you buy a Yeti cooler or a cooler in general from Oxbow, you get free ice for life. No one else is doing that. They also have Poncho, Duckhead, Filson, Howler Brothers, Free Fly, and plenty more all under one roof. And if you need a gift that feels like Memphis, build your own 901 care package in store. Oxbow is Memphis made and Memphian approved. You can go visit them at 964 June Road. 964 June Road. Off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station, or online at shopoxbow.com. That's shop OXBEAU.com. Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. So I was going to originally talk about the Steelers and the Dolphins swapping some players. Still may get to that, but we're going to have to scrap that for now. Jaren Jackson Jr. has agreed to an extension with the Grizzlies, and so has Santi Aldama in the first 20 minutes of free agency.
The only two moves so far.
Yeah. Well, only two announced moves. Shams is...
Tampering doesn't happen, Gabe.
What's up with Shams, by the way? What's up?
What happened to the game that I love?
I mean, honestly, like, seriously, looking at this, Woj would have shot off at least 7 tweets by now with 7 different moves. It's 5:28, and we only have 2 moves on the table right now, and they're both with the Grizzlies. And they're both extended. It's not like a guy switching teams, a free agent being signed elsewhere. This is not how – God, what happened to the offseason in the game I love? Good Lord. Come on, Shams, get it together. Get it together. All right, let's grab a break on that note. We'll come back and talk about that. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and we have a lot to discuss. I think Shams Charania – ESPN NBA Insider is basically a Grizzlies reporter at this point, because all he's reporting, 3 out of the 4 things that he has reported are Grizzlies extensions. And one happened at the break, and we'll get to that in just a moment. First, we have Jaren Jackson Jr. And the Grizzlies expected to agree on a 5-year, $240 million maximum extension. Then right after that, we had Santi Aldama, 3-year, $52.5 million extension, $17.4 million a year. More on that in just a moment. And then, I think everybody's going to love this one. You have Cam Spencer has officially been taken off the two-way. I think he was a restricted free agent anyway. But 2 years, $4.5 million fully guaranteed for Cam Spencer. So they've locked up Jaren Jackson Jr., Santi Aldama, and Cam Spencer in the matter of, I don't know,
three of the four things we said right before we went to break, before we got to David Cobb. I said there's four things that the Grizzlies are probably trying to do right now in free agency. Extend Jaren Jackson Jr., retain Santi Aldama, give Cam Spencer a full contract, which they have done, and then sign Ty Jerome. And they have done three of those four things. Let's hope they can complete four of four. But with these moves, we now know that there is money that needs to be moved.
Yes.
And Cole Anthony is basically no longer in Memphis Grizzlies. If I had to guess, I would assume that John Conchar might be getting moved as well.
They have to shed salary to be able to
yes,
fit it on
100%.
This. So the way the finances are going to work for Jaren's new deal, he was set to make $23.4 million this year. The renegotiation for this year will be $33 million. Then he'll make $206.9 million from 2026 to 2030. So it'll be 46 first year, 49 the next year, 53, and then 57 in the final year of his contract. That's a lot of money. But in the end of the day, when you're the Grizzlies and you draft and develop talent like Jaren Jackson Jr., who's been to two All-Star games, has been a Defensive Player of the Year, has been on multiple All-Defense lists, you sort of have to do what you have to do. And the truth of the matter is, regardless of what you think about Jaren Jackson Jr. and his rebounding and his offensive upside and all these different things and how many threes he shoots, he's a two-time All-Star, a Defensive Player of the Year, and he was going to get this money elsewhere had the Grizzlies not paid it to him. That's just the truth of the matter. A max extension or an extension that is just huge like this was going to get paid to him regardless. I'm glad to see Jaren Jackson Jr. He's locked up through the rest of his prime in all likelihood through his 30-year-old season. So makes a whole lot of sense. And I'm glad it got done now instead of waiting a painstaking year and hoping it gets done right before unrestricted free agency.
I think it makes all the sense in the world, especially the Jaren Jackson Jr. one. The Santi Aldama one, listen, it's
bit of an overpay.
It's a little bit. I think it's a little bit of an overpay. We thought that 17 number was going to be the cap. He's getting a little bit over that number, but ultimately, players like Santi Aldama are difficult to find in the NBA, and I think that the Grizzlies prioritize having dynamic offensive players and guys that they think may be able to grow defensively, and that is what Santi Aldama is it can do. He had a good performance in the playoffs, even though it was four games, and they wanted to keep him. And I think that, to be honest, when you know that other teams were going to be bidding for him, getting him at that number.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not the worst thing in the world. I understand that it might be a little bit more than you wanted, but ultimately, I think that today so far has been good for the Memphis Grizzlies. And when you look at the Jaren Jackson Jr. contract, and when you actually break it down, I think it makes a lot more sense. It is more backloaded than it is front-loaded, so it will allow the Grizzlies to still make some moves, but again, they're going to have to shed some salary to get all this done.
But yeah, the Santi, $17.4 million a year, obviously three-year contract, so it's a little shorter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought that was going to be the deal-breaking number, quite frankly.
17?
17. But they get a little bit over that. And I think you're betting on him ascending still. He's still young, and he's gotten better every single year of his career, and he's a three-point shooter. And again, I want to make this much very clear, and I think Parker Fleming put this very wonderfully on Friday. A seven-footer who can play out on the wing, shoot the three ball as well as he does, attack closeouts, and pass the way he does, that doesn't come around very often. So when you have a chance to retain that, you want to retain that. Do I think they overpaid to a certain extent? Yes, but you know what Santi's given you off the bench. You know he's going to give you production. He's proven it in this system and with this franchise. So I don't have any overwhelming issues. It's probably about $2 million more per year than I thought he was ultimately going to get.
Now, that being said, it is also a contract that you could move. It's not like it's one that teams are going to be adverse to taking on if you decide that you do want to move Santi Aldama later. Now, hey, guess what? Shams has another Grizzlies tweet. The Memphis Grizzlies and Cole Anthony reps at XL Sports are working towards a resolution that allows Memphis to create the necessary cap space to renegotiate and extend Jaren Jackson Jr. while giving Anthony the opportunity to find his next destination.
So it means they tried to do this over the weekend. They just couldn't find any takers.
I think what we said earlier was probably the case. Teams were saying, we'll take Cole Anthony, but you got to give us a pick. And the Grizzlies went, no, thank you.
So what do you think this ultimately looks like?
Probably a buyout.
A buyout?
Yeah, or they might stretch him.
If they could find a trade, so you don't think the Grizzlies will throw in a first-round pick to offload him?
No. I don't know. That would feel like a lot. I don't know if I want to give up a pick to get off of Cole Anthony's contract.
Yeah. Especially when you just took it in. You took it in like 2 weeks ago. We'll see what happens.
Now, I mean, but like a trade still might happen because in this language, it didn't say he's being bought out. Maybe this is just, hey, you know, somebody come and get him. Somebody come and get Cole Anthony. So it's
the fact that
but we knew he was going to be the guy.
But the fact that they tried to do it over the weekend and it's being reported on a Monday that they're working toward a resolution that allows them to create the necessary cap space means they had absolutely zero luck over the weekend.
Correct.
None at all. But then the final thing that came through on the Grizzlies again, Shams Charania, Grizzlies reporter, ESPN, Cam Spencer, 2 years, $4.5 million, fully guaranteed.
Honestly, love it. Maybe my favorite deal of the three. What? Maybe my favorite of the three. We have a lunatic at the end of our bench now. It's incredible. I'm very excited to see Cam Spencer.
You get to hang out with his dad.
I get to hang out with his dad more. Yeah, that's gonna be great. My little brother's got to like get that chest built up because he's gonna be elbowing him in the chest so much.
Yeah,
no, his family. No, Cam Spencer's family's great, and I've always enjoyed watching him play. I think that he's the type of player who, you know, has an opportunity, he makes the most of it. And he certainly did that with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think this is well-deserved. I'm glad to see Cam Spencer getting this, and I'm excited for him.
You have a few guys, though, at this point. I know they're in different sort of positions and have different outlooks, but you have a few guys that are really just going to be fighting to find a role on this team. Vince Williams Jr., G.G. Jackson, Cam Spencer are three guys that I just sort of wonder how it's going to look.
Shams is now saying, this means the playmaking and scoring guard is entering the marketplace. The trade marketplace? The free agents market? Shams, we need more information.
Yeah, he's talking about Cole Anthony.
Yeah, talking about Cole Anthony.
But yeah, you sort of you have three guys who I want to see, like, somebody's going to end up with this team long term. Someone is going to end up breaking through, and I want to know who it is. And I don't mean breaking through in a way that they're going to rise to like a superstar level, but I mean breaking through and being a part of this rotation, getting, you know, 10, 15 minutes a night. Cam Spencer, G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams Jr. I don't know how that's going to look, though. It's more betting on your drafting and your developing process.
Yeah, they're throwing. I think it's similar to what we said after the draft. The Grizzlies recognize what teams like the Pacers and the Thunder did, and they're trying to throw as many darts at the board at guys who can shoot and play defense.
Yeah, you know what also happened?
What's that?
At the break is what we said off the top, and this was obvious, Dorian Finney-Smith, 4-year, $53 million deal.
Yeah, great move
by them. With the Houston Rockets.
Great move. I hate it, but great move.
I don't like it at all.
Very good move.
I don't. Santi being a more on a per year basis than Dorian Finney-Smith, is that a little weird? Is that a little bizarre?
Maybe. I don't know. It's. I think that you're also probably getting a discount for a guy coming to a team who he knows could probably win a championship.
Okay. 41%.
Different circumstances. I think. I don't know.
41% from three.
Yeah.
And losing Dylan Brooks feels like absolutely nothing now. It never really felt like much because I thought they retained a lot of their physicality. The Rockets did,
right,
with Amen and Tari and all those guys. Steven Adams. But now you add like the true point of attack defender, and he shoots at a higher percentage, and he takes less shots than Dylan Brooks. God, that Rockets team's terrifying now. That Rockets team is truly scary.
They are very good. Jaren Jackson Jr., by the way, I just saw the stat. Players to average 20 points per game last season, one steal and one block. Jaren, SGA, Anthony Davis, Victor Wembanyama. Pretty good. Listen, I understand if people have want to say that both players may have gotten paid a little much. You're probably right. But when you're a small market team like the Grizzlies,
you tend to overpay.
This is how you build your team, period. It's how it works.
Also, I saw this, and I need confirmation. I doubt anybody has confirmation, but I need to know this. Is Jaren Jackson Jr. switching his number? I saw something pop up on my feed about that.
Jake LaRavia to the Lakers!
From 13 to 8. Do we have any answers on that?
Here's what I know. I know people with the Grizzlies. I asked them if this is real. It sounds like people are trying to confirm whether or not this number change is real. I don't know. It is yet to be seen. But
it was originally reported by Etienne Catalan, who's an NBA numerologist from Paris, France. That's 27,000 followers. Got a check mark, but he clearly paid for it. I don't know what to think about that, but you did just say it. A lot of news.
Jake LaRavia is a Laker.
Jake LaRavia,
LeBron, you have your help.
So there's your wing. You think LeBron's going to be sold now? Go find a center. Go get DeAndre Ayton, and LeBron thinks they have a chance to win
a title. It sounds
like
DeAndre Ayton is on the way to the Lakers, too.
Jake LaRavia is the missing wing that they needed.
Yeah.
All right, let's grab a break, and we'll come back and get to small talk right here on the Gabe Kunz on 92.9 FM ESPN. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. I have to go ahead and get to this because it just cracks me up. Before we got to the break, we mentioned it briefly, but our old friend Jake LaRavia is now a Los Angeles Laker. 2 years, $12 million, $6 million per year. Listen, I've always been somewhat...
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Of a Jake LaRavia fan, I think he provides a little bit defensively, even though I never thought he would be there in his career. And then offensively, he shot around 40% from three last year, so he provides a little bit there. But if that is Rob Pelinka's answer to the LeBron questions we were asking at the top of the show, bringing in a wing, bringing in a center, if that's like the idea behind the role-playing wing that they're going to bring in this offseason, LeBron's asking for a trade in 2 weeks because that's not going to be enough to convince LeBron to stay. If it ends up being DeAndre Ayton and Jake LaRavia as their two answers this offseason, that couldn't be worse.
It would be bad if you're the Lakers. That being said, kind of love the value. Kind of love the value for Jake LaRavia as a Laker. He's going to make their perimeter defense better. The thing that makes it is that what the issue is for the Lakers is – it will be compared to we lost DFS and we added Jake LaRavia. And as much as I like Jake, DFS is in a different tier of player than Jake LaRavia. So that's the comparison point there. If they had DFS and Jake LaRavia, that'd be really good. But if it's just Jake LaRavia, DeAndre Ayton, or Brooke Lopez, probably could have done better.
I don't know. White guys get in that Lakers jersey and they start playing well. Look at Alex Caruso. Sure. We got Austin Reeves, Jake LaRavia maybe next in line. Who knows?
But maybe so.
What I did want to bring up in small talk today, EA Sports announced today that they're in the process of bringing back NCAA college basketball. They're bringing back the game. They already brought back football. 26 is going to come out in a few months, or it comes out this month, doesn't it? I think it comes out in July. But they are not going to get it done until 2028. So don't hold your breath until the game comes.
Yeah, but huge news. Awesome news.
I remember playing it back in the day.
I was obsessed with
it. Was it 2K then, though, that made it?
No.
It was EA Sports?
It was EA.
It was EA. I liked it.
You're thinking, but 2K did have a version, I think. Was like Greg Oden on the cover?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But last one
the
I
Blake
played.
The Blake Griffin one.
Was it John Wall?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I remember
playing that one. I enjoyed the college
Loved it. I was obsessed with it. I was absolutely obsessed with it. I took Albany all the way to the turn, all the way to the championship.
I would take North Florida.
For some reason, Albany was my team.
And I'd recruit my ass off.
You better believe.
I did all I could to cheat to bring in 5 stars at North
John
Florida.
John Calipari was scared
Ospreys.
To see Connor Dunning walk into a room for negotiation.
No one wanted to see the Ospreys on the road in their building. No one wanted to see the North Florida Ospreys. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. Coming up next, we have some free agency to talk with Trevor Lane. He's from Lakers Nation, also from the Front Office Show. Make sure you stick around for that.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.